Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you very much, and welcome to the program, Monday through Friday, 10-minute segments right here at Blog Talk Radio. Gay marriage, the ship has sailed. The Supreme Court in the Obergefell decision has deemed gay marriage, same-sex marriage, marriage between any two people, any two adults, as legal. There are going to be ramifications for this. There's already been a case where, using the same arguments presented in this Supreme Court decision, polygamy will be attempted at legal. In fact, I think ultimately we'll see cases brought where any two entities can, or more, can declare themselves legal under the guise of the Supreme Court decision. But we can bemoan the fact, we can whine about it. The fact is, conservatives did not stop it because they did not have the ability or the courage or the finance or the insider contacts to counter an agenda that has been afoot since the late 1990s, when the New York Times assigned Anthony Lewis to introduce gay marriage in America, something that was resisted by most, including most gay people, back then. And yet they did a brilliant job. They should be congratulated. It is a social experiment that has been launched. Younger people seem to like it, including younger conservatives as well. And I believe that the best strategy going forward is, firstly, to recognize that that it does exist. It's not going to be stopped. It can't be, you know, the toothpaste is out of the tube. You can't put it back in. You've got existing marriages on the ground. And so, therefore, it should be viewed as a social experiment that should be allowed to run its course. I think that 50 years from now, when most of us who are listening to this program will not likely be alive, gay marriage will be a footnote in history. That's my opinion. I think it'll be nothing more than a rare occurrence when you might have two old ladies sitting in bed with a cat, especially, obviously, are going to opt for a gay marriage with all of the attendant issues around it. I think that a lot of the hullabaloo around gay marriage actually is the excitement that's attendant to its subversive nature. The fact that people are upset about it, there's a great deal of tumult, and that creates a political situation which is fun. It's exciting. It's like thumbing your nose at conventional society. That it's subversive. So I think that the best thing to do with regard to that, actually, is to ignore it in the official sense. To say, okay, you're going to have your gay marriage. Let's proceed. Let the sociologists, let the psychologists study it in the future and see whether or not it's actually a sustainable institution. And but let it be legal. It is legal, whether we like it or not. So let it go forward and let it proceed. Now, the problems attendant, of course, with the radical gay movement that is at least partially on the vanguard of promoting this is that they want to suppress religion. They want to suppress anyone who opposes gay marriage. They want to accuse these people of having something against gay men and women. They want to equate it with racism. We know the recent case where the bakers of cakes in Oregon, because they did not want to bake a cake for a lesbian couple and declined to do so politely, they're now getting a $175,000 fine. They've lost their business. They lost their home. Or they're about to lose their home. And if they even speak up about it, they could be put in prison. To my way of thinking, the problem now is not gay marriage itself. As I said, let that take its course. The problem is the civil rights involved with those who oppose it on moral grounds or on any other grounds, which is their right, just like it is the right of the gay movement to criticize religious people, which they do quite vociferously. That is what you have when you have freedom. I think that the issue should be once again phrased as a civil rights issue. It is the civil right of people who believe in the Torah and who believe in the New Testament and who believe in actual what they would suggest is science that indicates that homosexuality is wrong. Doesn't mean it has to be banned. Again, it shouldn't be banned at this point. It can't be banned. It's too late. Let it go forward. If people like it, fine. But it is also the right of individuals to say they don't think it's appropriate. They don't think it's wholesome. They don't think it's a good idea. And not have to have that criminalized. They should be able to say, we're against it for the same reason we're against adultery, for the same reason we're against bestiality, for the same reason we're against any form of extramarital sex. And while we recognize that gay marriage is legal in this country, we don't believe it's not just biblical, but we don't recognize it in the real sense as marriage, and it is our right to do so. We're not taking this position because we hate anybody. We have nothing against gay men and women. It's simply a position of principle. It's just like we're not going to go on a crusade against adulterers. There's plenty of adulterers who are part of the Christian community, as we know. But at the same time, we're going to not condone and even possibly condemn the behavior of adultery or extramarital sex. So the issue needs to be conjoined with regard to the civil rights of citizens to advocate for conventional traditional marriage and to say, you can have your gay marriage, but I don't have to condone it. I don't have to say I think it's good. But I think that if, in fact, we take that two-tiered position, which is to understand that it's going to go forward because it's the law of the land, and because we respect law, we are not being forced to have a gay marriage, so they'll go forward. And at the same time, we take a strong moral position, and even I would argue scientific position, in our presentation, which is that homosexuality is not healthy. It's fine if someone as an adult wants to engage in it. It's nothing new, but that it's not wholesome or healthy behavior, period. That is our right, or it's anyone's right, to make that judgment, to say so openly, without being criticized, and to, at the same time, recognize that the radical gay movement might say they think religion is a superstition and that it's hateful, and say we don't agree with that. You know, it's part of freedom. And I think the gay movement is not satisfied with just having their gay marriage and being left alone, because they believe, and I think rightfully at the core, that if that were the case, gay marriage would disappear, it would fade, it would basically wither away. It doesn't have long term sustainability. It's not something that is organic. It's something, frankly, that was created, I would argue, in the boardroom of the New York Times. And so they have to try to invade themselves into others and force themselves onto others and demand that they be recognized. And that's where I think freedom-loving individuals ought to understand that they need to draw the line. I think that they should ask gay people to join them in saying, look, I have my gay marriage. I've got my right to do that, or my legal right to do it, but I'm not going to invade myself on someone else if they're not interested. You know, and it's not hateful that they're not. The only hate going on is hate against those who oppose gay marriage. And so we have to defend the right of the citizen to believe what they do, and to do so without harassment or intimidation. I'll end it by pointing that I believe that it is a vicious, Jew-hating, anti-Semitic activity or belief that I see predominantly amongst people on the left with regard to their view of the state of Israel. Now, I don't agree with everything the state of Israel does. I was vigorously against several of their policies. I'm talking about more of a fundamental hatred and obsession with Israel, to the degree that they're calling for Israel to be boycotted and Israeli professors to be denied the ability to lecture and this kind of hateful behavior. And I would argue that these people are in line with not only the enemies of Israel, who seek to openly destroy it, but also the enemies of this country. And that their motivation is sheer, unadulterated Jew hatred. Does that mean that they should be forced to invest in Israel? That they should be denied the right to speak their minds? Should they have gag orders on them saying they can't criticize Israel, just like a judge put a gag order in Oregon against these bakers because they would not bake the gay cake? I would say we ought to err on the side of freedom. Let them boycott Israel if they want. Stand up in the public square and criticize them. I might even stand up and identify them and ask fellow citizens to boycott them. But they have a right to do it, and Christians as such have a right to say that they do not accept gay marriage personally, morally. They accept that it's the law of the land, just like it's the law of the land that someone doesn't have to do business with Israel, but that they would advocate against it, and they would suggest that others do the same. Not because they hate gay people. You know, I don't hate the people that hate Israel. I just hate the activity. But because they are free to take that position. Again, I mean, the gay marriage ship has sailed. Gay marriage is now the law of the land. The Supreme Court decision, in my opinion, was completely outside the Constitution and despicable. But it's not going to be reversed. You can't take it away at this point. Let the ship sail. Let the social experiment continue. And let's stand up for civil rights. And thank you very much for listening today. Again, Chuck Moore Speaks, 10-minute segment every weekday right here at Blog Talk Radio.